Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Scripture today is 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 11. Brothers and sisters, I want to call your attention to the good news that I preached to you, which you also received and in which you stand. You are being saved through it if you hold on to the message I preached to you, unless somehow you believed it for nothing. I passed on to you as most important what I also received. Christ died for our sins in line with the scriptures. He was buried and he rose on the third day in line with the scriptures. He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at once. Most of them are still alive to this day, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, he appeared to me, as if I was born at the wrong time. I am the least important of the apostles, but I don't deserve to be called an apostle, because I harassed God's church. I am what I am by God's grace. God's grace hasn't been for nothing. In fact, I've worked harder than all the others. That is, it wasn't me, but the grace of God that is with me. So then, whether you heard the message from me or them, this is what we preach, and this is what you have believed. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
What does it mean to be a Christian? Who's Jesus? Are these important traditions, important stories? What are these written words that inspire and challenge? Is there still room for spirituality? Is there still room for beauty? Is there room for wonder? Join La Jolla United Methodist Church as we learn or relearn what it means to be a Christian, as we learn that our sole job is to love. Over the course of the last several weeks, we've been journeying really along a road of asking ourselves the question, what does it mean to be a person of faith? What does it mean to be a Christian? Some of those same questions that show up in that bumper video that we watch each week. And that bumper video may feel sometimes repetitive, it may set the mood, but I think it's important that we ask those questions every single week. What does it mean to connect with a community of faith? What's important about it? Where's the value in it? Is the value only for me, or is it bigger than me? These are good and important questions that I hope that we will continue to ask. We started, and I think it was good to start in the beginning with baptism, the baptism of Jesus. We celebrated a baptism here in this sanctuary. We moved then to conversations about what it means to be in a community, a connected community. We talked about being the body of Christ, recognizing that we have different gifts and different skills and we bring different things to the table, and also understood that when something happens to one part of the body, it affects the whole. And of course, last week we read from Paul's famous chapter, the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the love chapter. And we're reminded that love is patient and kind, and we asked ourselves the question, in everything that I do, am I being patient and kind rather than arrogant or rude? Important questions that were addressed to a church that was in conflict, and that we might hear today, understanding that we are not only a part of a church where there can be conflict, but a part of a world that is experiencing division. And then Paul continues his argument just after completing the love chapter. And I know that we skipped chapter 14. That's the lectionary. That's not me. But Paul continues his argument saying, listen, maybe it's helpful to go back to the basics. Now, this may be a familiar thing. At least I hope it's a familiar thing to us, we worshipers of La Jolla United Methodist Church, the idea of going back to basics. We spent several sermons going back to the basics on how do we read our Bibles. We spent several Sundays going back to the basics on what does the Lord's Prayer say to us? Some of these core parts of our faith, some of these parts of our faith that we hold to and that nourish us and bring us joy, we've taken some time to go back to the basics. I think that's a good thing. And I think that's what Paul invites us to do as I get my Bible. That's what Paul invites us to do in today's text. Brothers and sisters, I want to call your attention to the good news that I preach to you, which you also received and in which you stand. You're being saved through it if you hold on to the message I preached to you, unless somehow you believed it for nothing. I passed on to you as most important what I also received. Christ died for our sins in line with the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose on the third day in line with the Scriptures. Go back to the basics. Go back to Jesus. Now it's the first Sunday in February. We're not far from Christmas still. You know, maybe you're one who likes to look forward. It's still, 300 and plus days until Christmas. Or it's just a little bit after Christmas. We're in what's called the season after Epiphany. Some folks also call it ordinary time, but the season after Epiphany, right? It's after Epiphany. Epiphany is the Sunday that we celebrate the wise men arriving, the message of Christ arriving outside of one small family, outside of one small community, outside of Judaism. Epiphany is the arrival of Christ's light for the world. And we're in that season that immediately follows Epiphany. We might see this as remembering Jesus, at going back to the beginning, back to the basics. Paul talks about how Jesus appeared after his resurrection to a number of people and then confesses his own sense of unworthiness, in part because he sees himself as just an ordinary man, but also he sees himself as an ordinary man who persecuted God's church. And with humility, he confesses these things and then acknowledges that even he has an experience of faith and spirituality. I wonder what it must have been like for Paul. We know the story. He's on the road from Damascus, and suddenly something extraordinary happens. Now, for most of us, whether we're worshiping or online or the few of us who were in the room, for most of us, we didn't have some supernatural experience. I mean, maybe you did, but for most of us, maybe not that. At least not to the extent that Paul did, where we were blinded, where there was something like scales over our eyes, where there was a voice that came from the heavens. I submit that most of us didn't have that experience. But I wonder how many of us can remember that very first sense of faith and spirituality. I remember mine, and I'd like to share it with you, because I climbed a tree. You see, I was probably 5 or 6 years old. I went to a private Christian school. I grew up, I told you that I grew up in Santa Clarita. This was actually before we moved to Santa Clarita, because we moved to Santa Clarita when I was 7. We hadn't been in the state of California that long because I was born in another state. We hadn't been in Southern California that long. We had this house and it had a tree outside. And again, I was at this private Christian school. And somebody along the line must have told me, well, you have to accept Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior. In some traditions, there's a particular prayer that you have to pray. Some traditions have lots of things about that. I decided in my 5 or 6 year old brain that my job, if I wanted to do this thing that I felt compelled to do, somebody had said something, but I was feeling a need to respond, that maybe the best way to do that was to get a little bit closer to God. And so I climbed a tree. And in that tree, I said whatever words a 5 or 6 year old might say to open themselves to faith and spirituality. Now, here's the thing I want to say about that, right? Because maybe you remember for yourself what that first moment of faith and spirituality was for you. But hasn't there been something since that moment? I mean, for me, there certainly has. Since that moment, being 5 or 6 years old, climbing a tree because I think it's going to be closer to God, and saying whatever words that I said to accept Christ into my heart? There's been a journey from that 5 or 6 year old climbing a tree to me standing up here in a robe and a stole and a cross. Of course there's been a journey. And I hope for you there has been as well. For me, that journey was about wrestling and learning. It was about going to Sunday school and participating in what our director of Christian education called Bible battles, which were this Jeopardy-like group children events where we would, you know, reference scriptures or any number of things, stories from the Bible, all kinds of fun stuff. Into UMYF, joining the youth group and leading programs and learning about my faith and my spirituality, to wrestling with my faith and spirituality on the loss of my mom, to getting into young adulthood and being called, invited in to participate in camp and having even more profound experiences of God, to finishing schooling and earning a master's degree, to going through the commissioning and ordination process, and even today, continuing to read and to learn, partly through conversations with good people, partly through sermon prep. And I submit, my friends, for each of you, there is your own unique and beautiful journey. Might be interesting, once we are able to gather together in the room all together once again, it might be interesting to simply look around the room and see how many unique and individual and beautiful journeys of faith there are represented just in one room. There's what, 10 of us in the room? Each of us with a unique and beautiful and powerful experience of faith and spirituality. There are even more joining us online, each with a unique and powerful and beautiful journey of faith and spirituality. Paul invites us to go back to the beginning, and we might do the same. What is it? What is it that caused us to first be open to that idea of something bigger than us in the universe, that idea of Christ, that idea of God, that idea of God's Holy Spirit, that idea, as Pastor Derek talked about, of grace? What helped us to move from the front porch into Christ's home, into God's home? But as Pastor Derek so ably illustrated, we didn't want to just stand in the doorway. What caused us to further our journey, to look at the living room and the kitchen, maybe the library? What caused us to continue that journey? Now, one of the things that I think that we must acknowledge as United Methodists is that there are fewer and fewer people who are engaging in the Christian traditions as we know them. There are lots and lots of studies that talk about the decline of mainline religion. And sure, there are some churches that continue to grow, and some experience explosive, exponential growth, and others more modest growth. You should know that we are experiencing a little bit of growth. Even over the last several weeks that we've been online only, we have noticed a statistically significant growth. Over the last few weeks, evidenced in our online streaming numbers. But we also understand that broadly, there are fewer and fewer people engaging in weekly worship. But there are a growing number of people who identify themselves as spiritual but not religious. And one of the things that I think we can do as a community of faith is we, for ourselves, can go back to the beginning of our journey and ask ourselves, what is it that first drew us in? And then ask ourselves, how can we offer that to others? Because while the numbers are real, that there are fewer and fewer people engaging in worship, the flip side of that is there are more and more people that we can invite into our faith community. By going back to the basics, by going back to the beginning, by looking at those first things that drew us into faith, by re-examining how we read our Bibles, by looking once again at what it means to say the Lord's Prayer, we can, with fresh eyes, examine what is it that draws us into this experience of faith and spirituality, this experience of community, this experience of God in Jesus Christ, this experience of God's Holy Spirit. And if we can find those little nuggets that draw us powerfully in, then we can begin to explore how we can offer those things to the growing number of people who are not involved in a faith community. This may mean that we get down into the very core of what something is. Not a particular song, not a particular instrument, not a particular style, but what is the very core and how can we offer that so that our community, this community, maybe not our community, maybe God's community, might connect with even more people, that even more people might experience that sense of love that is patient and kind, that is not arrogant or boastful or rude. Friends, Paul invites us to go back to the beginning and to recognize that our faith and our spirituality is a journey. I like to frame it, it's a little joke, but it's also serious. I like to frame it in the words of that theologian Steven Tyler from the rock band Aerosmith, who says that life's a journey, not a destination. And I suggest, my friends, that our faith, our spirituality, our religiosity is a journey, not a destination. How do we go back to the beginnings of that journey to see how it started so that we can invite others to start the journey too? Let us be faithful. Let us be real. Let us be authentic. And let us be the light of God's love. Amen.
It is time for us to respond to the word of the message that we've just heard from Pastor Bob. Now, as always, we want to invite all of you to have a tangible response for this week as you go about your days, to find ways so that you can respond to what you've heard today. And I really like what Pastor Bob said about going back to our original faith, back to the basics of how, what was it that draws us to faith? Remember those moments and invite others to join us, because that is where, that is a unique story that you can share. We don't have to be theologians to share our testimony of our coming to faith. It is our authentic story, it's our signature, but from our story, others can find their own narratives, can find their own story of faith, and write their own journey. So that is my invitation for you this week.